Thank you. I am encouraged and now uncomfortable. Thanks. My name is Adam, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from feelings of inadequacy. Yeah. Oh, cheers. Thank you, random brother. I was a good kid with good grades and was good at a variety of things, but I never felt there was anything unique or special about me because I wasn't truly great at anything. I remember in school having a teacher where the highest grade she'd give me was an 89.5. I'd work harder, stay later, study longer, and still only get an 89.5. That's just a class, but that was how I felt about everything and accepted that as the standard for my life. The best I had to offer wasn't enough, and I was resigned to a B+, almost there kind of life. I was picked on in school, and I learned early on that the safest way to move through life was to hide and remain obscure. If I didn't speak or participate in things, then no one would have to know I wasn't enough, and no one could hurt or reject me. I kept my social exposure to a minimum until college and skipped most social events to live in intentional isolation. To connect and feel like I was enough, I would bury myself in mental fantasy inspired by books, video games, and television, and hide in those fantasies, in my own mind. In my head, I could finally be the hero of the story, get the girl, save the day, and be adored as someone special. However, the more I fantasized and lived up my life in my own head, the more increasingly difficult it was for me to connect with people in the actual real world. I had a few friendships that I intentionally kept shallow, and because of that, I had no accountability or avenue for confession when my mental fantasies took on a sexual component. The idea of sex and a relationship became the standard that I used to finally feel enough. And I built it up as a goal in my life to obtain. Through all this, I was attending church and aware of God's presence and actions in others' lives, just not on my own. He was a great God who died for me and gave me what he thought was enough to have a good life, but then left me to my own devices. My churchy and private school upbringing was put to the test in college, and I failed. I was an expert at surface-level Christianity and masqueraded my way through Christian organizations and life. The idea of sex and a girlfriend became even more dominant as a solution to my feelings of inadequacy. I hadn't dated in high school, but apparently you need to speak to females for that. But my second collegiate year, I met the woman who would eventually become my wife. We ended up having a codependent and sexually active relationship throughout our time dating and being engaged. God was kept in the background of my life because I never found in him the emotional high and satisfaction of being enough that dating and sex did. As a husband, I loved my wife very much, but my desperate desire for validation through her made me incapable of leading her or expressing that love properly. I thought I had it all, though. I had the woman of my dreams, a good job, and I was a father to an incredible little 3-year-old girl at the time. Then that all changed after 10 years of marriage when my wife left and divorced me. All my worst fears were confirmed that I wasn't enough of a husband, father, or man for her to stay. During the year we were separated before the divorce, I tried to be the perfect husband. The house was continuously spotless. I made lunches, wrote sweet notes, sent encouraging texts, made dinner, and expended all my energy trying to keep my family together. But it wasn't enough. After she left, my world was shattered. Everything that made me enough was gone in the 90 seconds it took a judge to legally dissolve our marriage. I lost unhealthy amounts of weight, couldn't eat or sleep, and my work performance plummeted, and my now half-time with my daughter became painful reminders of the family that I couldn't keep together. My ongoing sins of masturbation and fantasy that used to allow me to feel sufficient no longer worked. Believing that I wasn't significant enough for God to care, I remember lying on the couch praying for God to take my life because I didn't want it anymore. During that time, I met with an old friend for lunch, and he recommended a recovery program called Regeneration at his home church of Watermark. So without knowing anything about regen, and in a desperate attempt to fix my very specific problem, I blindly sprinted into Watermark for the first time in August of 17. I had grown up in church and was familiar with the procedures and general atmosphere of corporate gatherings, so I was surprised when I got here to find what I considered to be a Christian cult, complete with a tall, charismatic leader. The very unique regeneration attendees chanted and responded together in unison with some hidden script that I hadn't learned yet, and despite the multitude of problems they all claimed to have, they were all so strangely happy. Case in point, you freaks. The authenticity of the people and groundwork, though, was unlike anything I had experienced in my 30-plus years of church life. Most significant was how the men would follow up on their commitments to pray and didn't use the promise of prayer as an exit strategy for conversations. In closed groups, step 1 and 2 weren't challenging for me, but step 3 was where I was stretched. Simply put, I didn't trust God to restore my marriage, heal my pain, or ever fill that gap in my life that left me feeling constantly like I was less than everybody else. Lamentations 3:21-24 and Isaiah 26:3 became my life verses, which read, respectively, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. and you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. I found healing through the combined efforts of inventory and the 3 4-hour sessions it took me to confess. Somewhere between the confess and forgive steps, I finally understood that God knew I wouldn't be enough on my own. Before he ever created the world, he planned to send his son to live a perfect life as an example, die a death he didn't deserve in my place, and resurrect from the dead so I could have a renewed life. And as God so loved the world, he also loved me, Adam specifically, enough to die for. He died knowing exactly who I'd be and what I'd do, and did it anyway, which means that I was enough to him. That realization changed my life, and for the first time I could breathe sweet freedom knowing my father thought I was enough. So here I am, completely fixed and perfect, and also in recovery for lying. I wish I could say that God has restored my marriage and family, but that hasn't happened. I still struggle with wondering if I'm enough of a friend, employee, and leader, and the beautiful truth is that I'm not enough on my own. However, my Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has established my God as enough. And through him, I am too. I also sometimes struggle with wondering if he gave my daughter the right daddy. I battle those lies of inadequacy with the truth that he has a purpose and a plan for me and my little girl. He gave us each other for a reason, and I will trust that he knows far better than me. Following his example and in his strength alone, I could be a blessing to my daughter as her daddy and teach her that her heavenly father is enough. Through disciplines of daily devotion and constant and at times invasive community, I can thrive even when my world is on fire. While I wait on the Lord as he works, I have found peace in serving with God's people, none of whom I have found are enough by themselves either. I have rest in who I am and have been taught to appreciate the ridiculously slow process the Lord uses to work around me. When I thought my life was shattering, I can now see that God was lovingly and methodically dismantling me so I could be rebuilt. God is using what I thought were my greatest weaknesses, my sense of inadequacy, social awkwardness, and my closet nerdisms, to connect with and love others. Sexual purity in both mind and body are the normal in my life now, not the exception. Where I was once isolated, I became watermarked, and I'm now borderline waterlogged as I participate in a number of ministries, chief among them being this one. Having drank deeply of the Kool-Aid of regeneration, I find myself with a green lanyard, co-leading a step group of beautifully broken and dismantled men, just like me. If you're here for the first time, and either you or someone else, or more likely both, don't seem like enough, welcome home. Our Jesus is completely enough, and he guarantees healing and recovery if you choose a relationship with him alongside his very eccentric family. My name is Adam, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from feelings of inadequacy. Anyone can take something good and use it for good things, but only the loving God of grace can use something broken and otherwise not enough, like me, to accomplish his perfect will. All glory be to the God whose work in this world and in my life is enough. Thanks.